and welcome to Green Talk, your weekly RC racing podcast with your host, myself, Russell Lee, and as always, the fantastic Chris Bowden. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm not doing too bad, mate.
Epic, let me thank the sponsors. So a massive thank you to CMR Distribution, RC House, Schumacher Racing and Willspeed, the companies that keep us in every week and throw us some prizes at Christmas. So, Chris, let's go straight in with this week. Peter Pierce, how are you, sir?
Hi, guys. I'm good, thank you.
You know, I mean, I always say this every week and I'm, you know, sometimes it's just nice to get your mates on. So welcome to the show and thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I was very surprised I got the call, but very happy to be here.
You know, mate, to be honest, we all know you like, not that you like to talk, it sounds really bad, but you're a good conversationalist. So I thought, I'll tell you what, let's get Peter on. I mean, because you've only made a comeback in the last couple of years. You've got so much going on.
Yeah, well, when I listen to your podcast, I always used to think, oh, I'll never get a chance to go on there because it's always like people who are really good or got history in the sport or whatever, and It's good
yeah.
to be here.
Well, you've been, let's just give the listeners who don't know you a bit of a rundown on yourself. I mean, you've really burst back onto the scene in the last couple of years, haven't you? But I mean, you started messing with cars when you were four and then went off to do planes for a little bit. And do you want to run us through a brief history of yourself in RC?
Yeah, well, I got my first RC when I was four. And that kind of like bit the bug, got the bug going. And then that was just like a toy for the street and the garden, this and the other. It was a Club 10, Schumacher Club 10.
Oh, cool.
Never raced it. My dad went into racing. I just think he bought it. It was just a Christmas present. That was all. Yeah. Didn't know. I never went to a club. Didn't even know clubs existed. And then when I was a young teenager and I started earning a few quid on like weekend jobs and paper rounds and stuff, I bought myself a few ready to run nitro cars. My first nitro ready to run was just off a lad on the estate who was selling his ex old Christmas present. So I had to fix it up and this and the other. And then and then I started finding pubs and beer and stuff when I turned 18. And then moved away from RC again and then started in my early 20s racing on road in Halifax and doing a few nationals in there. Nothing major, just small time. Obviously, the nationals are big, but I weren't like doing every national. I just do local nationals and regionals and just whatever I fancied. It was nothing, nothing serious.
Yeah.
And then I moved away from RC because I was struggling with pitting, and I wasn't struggling because there was a lot of people to help, but I didn't like asking all the time. So if no one offered, sometimes I'd sit out of a heat, which is kind of a shame, you know, because I made the effort to travel and stuff, but I just like would pretend that there was something wrong with the car or this or the other. I didn't want to feel like needy or anything like that. So I stopped doing that because of not having any help and went away from RC again. And then,
yeah, it's always a bit of a struggle for pitmen, isn't it? You know,
it's all right if you've got a dad or a brother or a granddad who's into it. And that's usually how people get into RC, isn't it? But I never had anyone. I just fancied it on my own. So anyway, then I moved away from on road for a few years, and then I really wanted to get back into RC because I enjoy it. I love everything about it, and the only way to do it was to go electric. And even though I only lived 5 minutes from Bury Metro, near enough all my life, I'd never been down to watch a race, to join a club, because electric never interested me. So then I did, and I haven't turned back. Like I've really, really started to enjoy electric buggies.
Yeah, it's a lot. Electric is a lot easier, isn't it? You
listen, yeah,
plug your finger in and just go.
Exactly. Yeah, and when you don't have to do anything, do you? Just put it on track and wait till you can go, and you're off.
And you don't get a headache, you don't get emphysema, you don't get tinnitus.
Well, no, but I'm not negative towards nitro either, because if I did have a pit buddy, I would dive back into it. I do both.
Yeah. So what are your electric clubs up there then? What are your closest clubs?
Well, I'm Warrington, so I have. I'm a member of Bury Metro.
Yeah.
I like to race at Southport, especially when they do interclubs and stuff. And a lot of the Southport lads race at Bury, so everybody's pretty friendly.
Yeah.
And then when the M6 isn't playing up, I like to get down to Potteries on a Friday because everyone seems to get the edge on me. Like everyone's racing 2, 3, 4 times a week, and I get to race once every 3 or 4 weeks at best.
One of my favourite clubs, that is Potteries.
Yeah, it's a great, great little club, isn't it? New and run, and the committee's great. I know most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I like it there. I tend to go most Fridays. You know, it's a good thing. Before we move on from it, though, there was something. I was doing a bit of scouting this afternoon, knowing you were coming on. And you did something quite, you know, not a lot of people do up in this hobby or ever really in the world. You were quite generous to a young man at Potteries.
Oh, Oliver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? Have you met Oliver?
Not to have a conversation, but I probably have in, like, you know, seeing him at the club or whatever.
Well, when you do have a conversation with him, you won't turn back. Honestly, he's such a wholesome, lovely little, like, kid. He's so kind and so just wears his hat on his sleeve. He's really, really nice. And he was racing an FTX, and he was getting pretty good with it. And I had a few RB7s at the time because I tried to get my son into it and he wasn't interested. So I think I had 4 and I thought, like, I'll just get one together with him. But I needed a few more bits. So I put on the Kyosho group on Facebook because I'm part of that. I asked a few lads for certain bits and we all come together. I had the main chassis. A guy called Gavin sent up a brand new body shell painted. And I got some suspension bits and this, that, and the other off some of the lads, and then we give it him to crack on with his racing and get a more competitive car. So yeah, that was it's nothing. And plus, I wanted to do something because when I started RC, I felt everyone was helping me out, and I felt like I can't have that. Like, oh, try these tires, do this, do that, have this, and what do you want for that? Oh, I don't want anything for it. And I thought, how can I repay that? And I just thought that's what I could do.
It was the thing that stuck in my mind when I read Flick through a few bits.
It's literally because of the things that people have done for me, and I couldn't. They had more knowledge, more kit. I couldn't do anything for these people who had done stuff for me. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, just pass it on when I get the chance, and I did.
Yeah, no, it's a really nice gesture, and we'll keep our eye out for Oliver at the club on Friday.
Has he beaten you with it yet?
Sadly, I haven't raced with him, but in a long time. I think the last time I went down to Potteries and he was there, I was in a heat or two above him. But I bet he'd give me a run for my money now. I haven't seen him for a long time.
Oh, class, wow, class. So you're still running the Kyo shows now? Because I know, obviously, you're not really. I've known you a bit, Locke, and you're not. I never really had an affiliation with a single brand, have you? You just kind of pick and choose what you
no,
want.
No, yeah, exactly. I race which car I feel like. Obviously, I race a lot of different races, like rear motor, vintage, mod, and I don't have. I just race whichever car I fancy for that thing. But what I mainly do is I'll pick a car for a championship or a weekend's racing, like Revival, and I'll just stick with that car. So I ran my 6.4 in the Bury Winter Championships, and I'm going to run my Kyosho RB7 in the Bury Summer Championships. And then obviously I've got a rear motor for Robin Hood race that I've entered and stuff. So yeah, just I like to run all sorts of brands and stuff until somebody's saying, please, here's all these wonderful kits, race my brand, and then I'll just stick to doing that.
Yeah. Nah, class, mate. So what car are you going to run at the Robin Hood this year?
It's a car. It's a Serpent SRX2 rear motor. It's a ready-to-run car that I got for my son for Christmas a couple of years ago to try and get him into it. and he wasn't interested. He's been sat on the shelf, and I thought, do you know what? I need to make some of that. So I bought an SRX2 mid-motor kit car off Facebook Marketplace for pennies, swapped all the shocks, all the best running gear parts, like the slipper, the hexes, just all the bits that it needs, like the brass bulkhead, and just all the bits that this ready to run doesn't have, and just turned it into quite a little weapon. For the, you have a pre-99 and a post-99 yeah. category, and last year I raced in the pre-99 with my Cougar, so this year I'm going to race in the post, so I just wanted to make use of it, and that's what I've done.
Ah,
classic. And I took it down to Bury a few times in this horrible weather we've been having, because I know that carpet vintage track at Robin Hood, it's quite greasy, so I thought I'll go down there and just batter it around on the Astro and get some feel for it. So that's what I've been doing on the Saturdays when it's not been very nice. People must think I'm mad stood up on the rostrum in the rain, but I've been having a whale of a time.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So what other vintage cars have you got then?
I have a Pro Cat and the Cougar.
Yeah.
They were my first two, and I bought them to enter the revival and stuff. And then along the way, I've got a Top Force, which I swapped for another car that I got my son for his birthday. I keep trying to get them into it, my sons, but they're not interested. But that was a Kyosho MP9, ready to run 8th buggy. And then I seen somebody put this Top Force on Facebook and said, fancy a swap, maybe Nitro. So I sent him a picture of it. I said, look, I've got this brand new buggy. It's just sat here. None of my kids are interested. And he said, yeah, I'll swap it. So I swapped that for the Top Force. And I also have the Ultima JJ, which I got because I'm part of the Kyosho group, and they was all buying them. And I really fancied one. I love two-wheel drive. I don't have any modern four-wheel drives, but I have some vintage four-wheel drives just for these two-day weekends, like Revival and Lakeland Classic and stuff. There's no point going up, travelling all that way for one day. You might as well do them both. So
yeah.
I have four-wheel drives there, but four-wheel drive mod doesn't really interest me at the minute.
Yeah, because, I mean, you going back to like the RHR and, you know, the vintage stuff, you seem to live the life for that stuff, don't you, really? Like, you know, the RHR, the Lakeland and the Revival, that's really, if you're in the summer, that's where you are.
It's the atmosphere, isn't it? Like, and like, the lads, I'm a bit, don't know, old school, and probably a bit, I like hanging around with the older lads. They're quite funny, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a great sense of humour, and don't know, the racing's just good, and I always have a good weekend up there, so why not?
Yeah. So which one, are you doing all three of them again this year, the Revival?
Yeah, I just got my last email off James Edwards for the Lakeland Classic, so that completed all three, yeah. I did get a spot in, was it the Euro Masters? But I didn't make it. Something came up. Or is that the one that's happening next week? What was the one that was at MB Models a few weeks ago? The vintage VMR Jingle Bells, was it? VMR Jingle Bells.
I can't remember. I know there was one on, though.
Yeah, there's a big vintage event there that I missed. But I did enter it and got in.
I mean, I know Nathan was prepping for the Euro Masters. And
Nathan Rawls.
Yeah, and so were a couple of others. I don't know when it was. I'm a little out of touch with the vintage stuff in comparison to
the modern stuff.
Your modern stuff. I tend to mind my programs mainly modern all the way.
They're just rapid, aren't they? You go to these big meets with modern cars, and there's so many quick people now.
Yeah. So what modern have you been doing over the winter? I know you said you'd been doing Bury. Was that the winter series indoors at the...
Chadderton, the Radcliffe Sports Centre. It's massive, isn't it, for an indoor venue and track. Brilliant what they put on for everybody.
Yeah, no, they do a really good job.
I've been
to all of the rounds this year, so it's been really, really good. It seems like we've raced in a load of places, just never bumped into each other.
Yeah, it seems like I'll keep an eye out for you now.
Yeah. So, how have you been getting on in that series?
Well, it's funny you say that, because even though I've raced now buggies for 2.5 years, it just feels like over the last 4 months that everything's actually clicked.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like I understand, like, I've never understood setup, but now a minor setup, I understand, like, just basic stuff, but really helps with my driving. And obviously not just that, with ESC setup and everything combined and decent radio gear, and finally I can put an all right lap together. Nothing special, but good enough to have some good fun, you know, some good clean racing with some people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, so that's it, really. I've been racing an Associated 6.4. I was going to get this new B. Go on, sorry.
I just flipped in the good choice, sorry.
Yeah, well, I've had it a year and a half, and I've probably only done nine race meets with it, and so it's brand new, so I can't justify buying the B7, even though I really, really want one.
You deserve it,
man. Oh, the B7, yeah, the B7's awesome.
Yeah, a few lads who I race with have got them, and we've just done round 5 at Bury, and I prepped my car, so it had new everything on it, rebuilt everything, brand new body, wheels, tyres, went through the whole car, suspension, and it was like new wings on it and everything. And I said to my mates, I said, look at your B7s, and I said, they look the same, like, as in newness. I said, I can't justify going buying a new car at the moment, especially when I don't do, it's not all mod. I do like my vintage races and this and that and the other, because now, through the summer, I'll do rounds at Bury, but if they clash with anything, like any of my vintage weekends, and then also if I've just done a vintage weekend and then it's a Bury weekend, I can't just keep hopping off every weekend. I have young children that I need to entertain as well. So in the summer, my mod kind of like gets put on the back foot, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can kind of, you can end up literally spending every
when the kids have grown up, that's what it'll be, bankruptcy and racing every weekend. But yeah, at the minute, I'm not allowed.
Yeah, you'd be living in a race van and just traipsing from one event to the other.
How old are your kids, mate? They're still quite young, aren't they?
Yeah, well, my eldest is, I've got a 13-year-old boy who I keep trying to get into racing, but he's too cool for school, and he's all about how his hair looks and what clothes he's got on and the boys and girls he's hanging around with, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
And then I have a 4-year-old little boy and a 2-year-old little girl, but my 4-year-old is really interested and he loves coming, but obviously he's too young, so I do take him to Bury when I'm having a play on a Saturday when nobody's there, and he'll have a drive and do a bit of marshalling for me. And he has come to a few race meets now. He'd done round 3 at Bury, and he really enjoyed it, and he was really good. Like, so obviously when I'm on the track for 5 minutes, he needs to stay at my pit table and be sensible, so I'm just bordering on the line of taking him to some races and not, depending on where they are and how safe it is for him and stuff, you know. And he's getting the understanding of, obviously he's not allowed near the track and this, that and the other. So as soon as he's got all that down to a T and he understands fully and he's not going to make any mistakes and hurt himself or me or get us in trouble, then he'll be coming with me all the time. And I think he could be the one of my kids who actually enjoys it and gets into it with me.
To be fair, then how old did you say he was?
He's 4.
Yeah, probably another year or so.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, he's just too young, but he understands, and it won't be long till he's having a play and racing. Get him a big foam bumper on, so I'm not fixing his car every day.
But you mentioned briefly then that Chris did about your race van, because because Chris has got like a Sprinter style van. You've got a similar sort of thing, haven't you?
Same. Yeah, it's the same, and I got it with the old blag of, we'll go camping and we'll do this in the summer, but really, it's a race van, and it's for me to go to Revival, to Lakeland.
Weren't we watching the telly, you know, or something at Robin Hood last year? I can't remember. The Grand Prix or something? I can't remember.
The Formula 1,
Was it mentioned to the wall of the van, or am I making that up? I can't remember.
There's one that it kind of spins out on like a...
That was it, yeah.
A bracket kind of thing. But yeah, it's just the same as anybody's camper, really. It's just a four berth camper van, but I use it for racing with the awning and stuff, and it's handy because I don't have to carry a bivvy or like these 24MX tents that everyone does either. So I just rock up, pull my stuff out, and enjoy the weekend. I'm done.
You see, I went with it because,
and it's before, got a fridge. It's got a fridge for all the cold beers.
Yeah, so like you've got the fridge for your beers. You've got like I went like all out on the comfort stuff. So you're talking like 3 kilowatt inverter, everything, like full electric system.
Yeah.
I mean, I still pit under the gazebos. I like that. You get everybody together. But the
night. Oh, yeah. I would if I can't get my van near the track, then yeah, I definitely pit under the gazebo.
But you know what? I don't know if you find this as well. You know, the nicest thing before when I used to camp and it was a tent,
yeah,
you'd be like, got to pack it away and it's
well
wet.
That's the best thing, that if it's not, you have to get home and then you have to get it back out. That you don't, you just shut all the doors and drive off.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like your pack up is the fastest thing ever.
Exactly. And like, yeah,
you know, like I've done all mine. I've got onboard 4G with aerial on the roof, solar,
brilliant,
got, like,
brilliant.
TV. Like, I've even got like put my IPTV into it.
I think once you've got one or you've used one or one of your friends, you've been around one, I think everyone wants it on the list, don't they? Like, you need one.
He's got a full-size fridge in his crypto. It's literally everything else his camper van stores apart from the fridge. It's like a fridge.
I've got two fridges. I've got the full size one, which is like purely for the food, and then I've got the one that's like, you know, the wheel along type ones. It's an Alpicool 55. So I think I've got 130 liters of fridge in freezer.
Lots of beers.
Yeah, you can get all the one for the beers is purely the Alpicool. What you do is you plug it in and it keeps cold forever. So then you just, on the night, just wheel it out. Just wheel it out, sit there. You haven't got to keep traipsing in and out of the van. That way you can get your heater on and your room's all, your van's all nice and warm and you're not letting the heat out.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they are cool. Cool pieces of kit.
I love mine. It's brilliant.
Both very lucky. Very lucky.
Honestly, mate, they're just you don't know what you're missing out on.
To be honest, mate, if I had the space to keep one, I'd have one as well, definitely, definitely.
Cool. Just do what Potter did and sell his normal
sell
car,
a kidney.
Buy a van. buy a normal van.
Yeah, that's cool. Obviously, you know Potter, who we're talking about, don't you?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, he's the one who baptized me, I think.
God,
wild, absolutely wild. The last time I saw you, you were showing me some pictures of some bodies. You just started painting, hadn't you? And I was looking at you, when I was stalking your Facebook in the last couple of days, I think you've seriously improved. the work you've been doing is absolutely fantastic now.
It's okay. Yeah, it's not the best, but it's definitely raceable and sellable. I wanted to just get good at painting bodies. I didn't just want to have a fade or a two-tone body or this, that and the other. I wanted to build a car, set up a car, race a car. I wanted to do it all on my own, you know, without paying like for someone to do body shells and this, that and the other. On a WhatsApp Berry group, they have like a sales page as well as like a no separate to the Berry page. So someone popped up like a full kit, like iWater, Neo brush and a 20 litre tank and paints and all, everything you needed to get going. And it was 100 quid. And I thought, you know, it cost me like two or three shells that, and I can do my own. So I thought, it's 100 quid. I'll go for it. I'll have a go. And I bought it and just haven't looked back. Just really started to enjoy it, and then asking lads like, "Here, there, and can I? Like, have you got any shells that I can do?" And luckily, I've got a few lads at the club who are letting me do lots for them. Probably too many. I think they're helping me out, but I'm charging them. do you know what I mean? Like, not a lot. I mean, charging them for the paints and stuff. I'm like, I can't just keep doing them for free. And you know, so it's just small amounts to pay for materials. And then as I get better and the shells and more, they're just going up a little bit in price just until hopefully I can get as good as they're really, really good guys. I can only like appreciate what they do when I've tried it, you know, how good the work is.
I say this all the time, you know, painting body shells, putting the paint on is the easy bit, isn't it? It's everything that comes before that, like the masking, the drawing, thinking of a design, drawing it.
Yeah, when people are saying, oh, I want something like this, I'm like, oh, Jesus, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. It's 5,000 colours in that.
Yeah, it's the colours and the knife, like they want thousands of lines, and it does take time and time, but I don't really watch telly, so when the wife got like Love Island on or something like that, I was like, I'll go in the garage and I'll go and do a bit of work on someone's shells or on my own cars. So it's kind of like free time in a way, because I don't watch telly. I like to just keep active doing things. So if I weren't doing that, I'd be fixing the cars or washing them or just doing something. I like keeping busy rather than sitting down.
Yeah, that's the way, mate. That's the way. So who do you go racing with? Say, who are your mates? If you say, oh, where are we going this weekend, who do you knock about with?
Well, I don't really. I've always raced on my own. I just have faces at places, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, to be fair, when I go to Bury now, I sit with, like, Stu Dixon and Rob Mills and a few others, like, just around that area. But everyone, it's like, at Bury's, everyone sits in their own group of like 10 people, but anybody will help you out, and you just walk around, talk to anybody, queuing up, waiting for your heat, and you're just having a nobble with all the lads and the Southport lads. And me, I'm always in the same kind of group, so I'm around the same 20 people all the time, no, racing wise at Bury.
Yeah.
In the same heats and same finals, so we have quite a good laugh. Like a bit of dirty racing here and there when I know it's certain people and stuff, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Bowden's an expert at hacking Princess off every chance he gets.
Yeah, just stuff like that. But, that's it really. Yeah, just if I go down to Potteries, obviously knock around with Pete and Chris and Southport, Aidan helps out a lot, and I speak to Andy Hall and stuff, and then when I go over Yorkshire Way, Robin Hood, there's Craig Mawson and Carl Marsden and Andy Bulmer I talk to and just flutter about. It doesn't faze me racing on my own. I'll enter any race and then I see who's racing there. I don't go, are you coming racing? It doesn't bother me that.
You're going to be my friend this weekend. I'm sitting next to you.
Yeah. But you've got no choice. Yeah. You go with Robin Hood and you're pitting under the, in the, what do you call it?
In the barn,
that's it. Yeah, you're literally forced to pit with somebody, so it's great for socialising and stuff, isn't it? Stuff like that. So it doesn't it don't bother me. I just head away.
I normally get stuck next to the person I don't want to pit by.
Don't be like that, mate. Don't be like that. No one.
Well, it's usually you. To be fair, it's usually you. So
factory Russ, yeah. No.
Yeah, I normally end up getting lumbered with you.
Yeah, you love it. You love it. You love it. So, where are you racing next then, Pete?
I thought I was racing at round 6 on the 3rd of March, but I've learnt that it's my wife's 30th birthday on Friday, the 1st of March, and we're not here, we're away.
Pick your battles, mate. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm not racing there. So, my next actual official race is the Rear Motor in May, Rear Motor at Robin Hood. But I'll probably do a lot of track time down at Bury before then. Do you know, the way I look at it is I can get a month's worth of racing in half a day down there. You know, if I'm just constantly out running the batteries down, just lap after lap after lap, I'm not doing it's 30 minutes racing in a day's racing, isn't it? So you can do 3 hours there and still get on before dinner.
Yeah. I'm booked in for the RHR. I'm quite looking forward to that again.
Oh, the Rear Motor?
Yeah. I'm hoteling it this year.
I was gonna say you can bunk up with me.
No, I'm hoteling. I'm bringing Bruce this time, so I'm going to be hoteling it.
Is he racing?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
I'm going to do the early class, and I'm going to sort him an RB10 out to race in the
old. Oh, class. Nice. Yeah. Well, I wish I'd done the pre-99 now, because we got Ben Ellis and Craig Mawson, they're racing the Ultima JJ, and I've not actually raced mine since I had it. Like, it's just brand new on the shelf. Not that it doesn't matter, because I'll probably only use it once or twice a year anyway, in the summer on grass. But it would have been nice to race with them because they help with set up and we have a good laugh and stuff. So,
I've got to redo my RC10. It hasn't moved since the last meeting.
Oh mate, I would love an RC10. That's my aim this year to own an RC10 Worlds. That's the next on the list.
Yep, good cars, mate. Absolutely.
Big money though, aren't they?
Unfortunately, they're holding the money quite well. I mean, you get a decent spec Worlds car, you're looking at a minimum of £400.
They're about anyway. 650. I've been looking at them at. So
the minters are a lot more money. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get one because I really fancy one.
Yeah, they are cool, mate. They are really, really cool. Set a big bore shocks and you're absolutely laughing.
that's a whole other conversation.
Just wait for the death threats to start coming in tonight. Now, when this gets launched, Chris,
mate, I'm not even getting. You know how I'm not one to avoid controversy. I am staying out of it.
You're happy with the Tamiya bashing, but you're not going to go into the big balls on the RC10 conversation.
Don't even get me started on that stuff.
You got any Tamiyas, Pete?
Yeah, Top Force. Yeah.
Oh, nice choice.
Hey, that's all right. Top Force is all right because TRF did an Evo. I'll get murdered by some Tamiya aficionado now for that. But they did an Evo where there was like carbon fibre chassis and it was actually a race car rather than just some.
Yeah, but it still had the same gearbox front and back and the same diffs. They're the parts that fail.
Yeah, but at least they tried. It wasn't just like it was built at British Leyland and it just, that'll do, you know, give it a fancy name and let it erode as it goes down the straight.
I love it, but I have only
the Top Force was all right. I remember when I was a kid watching Malcolm McDougall always used to race one. I think he still does race it quite often. And it was a Top Force Evo. And, you know, they were quite cool. And I think they had a bit of a comeback a little while ago, didn't they? Did they do a re-release of them? And people put the vintage modded parts on so they were actually decent and didn't just break.
Yeah, I think they did do one. But I think they're re-releasing it again soon.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. The standard one, yeah. Something like that. Anyway, I've seen it.
It should be quite good then.
Yeah. A lot more of them racing then, won't they?
Yeah, there's not many of them that I'm a fan of, but I'll give it to that. I'm not too.
There's a few, you know, that if you have a search around on the internet, there's quite a few really, really, really modded, hopped up ones. Around,
you know, to be honest, Peter, I think if you don't like Tamiya, I think you're missing the point. You know, well, that's just my, you know.
I know, but yeah. I get his point as well because I've raced it twice and it's broke down on me twice.
Exactly. How is that fun?
I'm slowly going through the upgrades of when something breaks and buying the bomb-proof part to replace it. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's what TRF was. They had like all the stuff that fell apart, and then Tamiya had the TRF, Tamiya Racing Factory, where all the stuff that fell apart, they're built out of like proper materials that didn't break. So, yeah, just if it's TRF, great, but not if it's that Brakelotium stuff.
Brakelotium.
Sorry, Tamiya enthusiasts.
I love it. Cool. All right. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, I'm going through the list. Your Procat and your Cougar, are they re-releases or is one of them?
They are. And to be fair, I'm glad they are re-releases because when I bought them, I was very unknowledgeable, especially vintage stuff. I bought a Kyosho Laser ZXR, and it was a bit of a dog, but it was an original car, and I was a bit out of my depth. It needed a lot of new parts. Needed this, that, and the other, and I just moved it on. Whereas with the re-releases, the bomb proof and the everything's there. There's a lot of availability for parts. The You obviously you got the manual, which you're not going to get with many genuine vintage buggies that are knocking about on the market at the minute. So, and I need a manual, being a not a knowledgeable racer like.
Ah, class, mate.
So yeah.
So how many?
I think there's.
Go on, Chris. Sorry.
Isn't there a site? I'm sure there's a site. I mean, Petite might have, but I don't know how far back it goes for the vintage stuff. But I'm sure there's a vintage site where you can find all the manuals.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but I'm pretty sure there's a site where all like people have just uploaded all the manuals and that.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Once I've built a car and stripped it down a few times, and I don't need it, but with a brand new car, I just don't know. No. Because I never used to race like a lot of people back in the day. So they're like, oh, I had this when I was a kid and my dad used to race it. And then they just pick it up and they start where they left off, don't they?
Yeah. It's. I think it's one of those things where, like, I've built that many B7s, for example. But sorry, B6s. That I don't I think I genuinely think I could get away with without a manual for it.
Yeah.
Just because of how many I've built.
Yeah, a lot of the time though, it's just to revert to part numbers and stuff, and just to find quick information. You know, like on the move.
Yeah,
just stuff like that. I like having a manual.
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like this afternoon. I just flew in the garage there. Got the Serpent manual out for this rear motor race, and I thought I'll just order all new O-rings, all new bearings, all this, and I'll refresh the car right before the race weekend while I'm battering it around in all this bad weather at the minute. And I thought, I'll just keep using it and cleaning it, and then it'll just get a full overhaul ready for the race weekend. So I had to dive in the manual to see what size all the bearings were. Just stuff like that.
I think, for me, I very rarely, like, obviously I do only really race the AEs, so... For me, it's quite
standard stuff. Yeah,
it's
yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, once you've done it once or twice, you
yeah,
can just
of course, yeah.
Search it on either the CML website or whatever, and then you're fine.
Oh yeah.
But
so when, you know, are you anyway MB models? Do you race at that club? Or is that the other side of the country for you?
Which one, MB?
MB, yeah.
It's not too far. It's all about the motorways, isn't it, for me?
Yeah.
Anywhere's within an hour, but if traffic's bad, it could be 2 or 3 hours. So, especially on Friday nights when, like, Ribble up in Leyland and Potteries are on, which I want to do, like, midweek club racing, because it doesn't take up your weekend, do you know?
Yeah.
But I just struggle to get to places like that. And MB's on a Wednesday night, and but they finish up whatever it is, like 10 o'clock, and then getting home for 11, half 11. It's a bit of I feel a bit guilty on the kids as well, because I'd have to set off before the bedtime, and they probably wouldn't see me.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough. All right, mate. I think we've took up enough of your time. I know you listen every now and then, fella. Have you? And we do this thing called the Hall of Fame. Have you got anything interesting for us to throw in?
Not really, because I'm not that old of a racer on the buggy scene. But if it was to put anything in, it'd probably be the very first buggy that I got, which was the Schumacher Club 10 for Christmas when I was 4.
Oh, good choice. I don't think we've had that in Chris.
No, we haven't.
Oh, brilliant. Did they the Club 10? Didn't they do a truck version as well, Chris? With that, can you remember?
Yeah,
was that before your time?
It was before my time, but it was the Club 10. It was the Storm, and that's why the new truck's called the Storm.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that.
Go on, sorry.
I didn't know that it was called the Storm. The first truck they did.
Yeah, well, I just remember a picture on the box. It had a buggy and obviously the truck, and my dad saying, "Right, you get to build either or. It's one or the other," and I chose the buggy. I never even got to use that car either. He built it up, and then I don't know what he'd done with it, but he plugged it in and it just shot across the living room, and that was the last I seen of it. it whacked into the skirting board, went back in the box, and then Oh, this is another story for you. And before you go, he put it back in the box, and I never seen it again. And then when I was messing with them nitro cars in my 14, 15-year-old teenage years,
yeah,
he pulled it down. He must have been rooting in the attic, and he said, "I've got this," and he gave it to me. And I actually thought, this is really flimsy. This would break as soon as I went outside of it. And I flogged it, like sold it on, thinking it was nothing. I wish I would have kept it now so I could have raced it.
Yeah, we've all yeah. stuff we've got rid of in the past.
You know, yeah, you know, compared to like a ready-to-run car, nitro car, one, they're heavy. Two, they're just built of just massive parts. Like, they're not very race-designed, are they? They're just chunks of crap, really. And I picked up this Club 10. I was like, oh, these wishbones are going to snap. This is going to snap. And I had just no knowledge of buggies whatsoever and just sold it on. And then got into buggies a few years later, and I wish I'd kept it.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that's changed nowadays from the old days. They're just, I mean, the speed, but just the durability of the materials. Like, well, some of the smashes, especially, yeah. I mean, you say you race at Bury. You were there this weekend. You saw that the few of them coming
well,
down.
Well, I didn't actually see it. I was in the pits, and all you'd hear is, "Wow, crash, bang," and the bits of cars flying everywhere. Me and the lads are just having a, like, oh, God, it's happening again.
Yeah, well, I was marshalling. You know, Marshall Point 1 by race control. Yeah. To the straight. I was marshalling there. So I had a very close-up view as two parts yeah, of the same car came gamboling towards me.
Yeah, it's the worst point at the end of the straight, isn't it? Especially at Bury, because everyone's a Formula One driver.
Everyone,
everyone's quick.
Do you want to thank anyone before we let you go, Pete?
Just everybody who's welcomed me into RC and helped me out. Like, for instance, Chris Eli, he does a lot for me, a lot of knowledge. When I first started, sold a lot of cars up for me. Thank Bury Committee for always putting on good races for us, and just my wife for letting me have a lot of spare time away from her and the kids.
Perfect, mate.
That's it, really.
Thanks for coming on. I think, you know, you've done really well, considering you were a bit apprehensive about coming on. I think you're doing class, mate.
Yeah, it's because I'm just a basic club racer, and you have big hot shots on here all the time, don't you? So. Yeah, it was a bit nerve-wracking.
Nah, don't worry about it, mate. What we'll do is, I think we'll grab you at the end of the year and we'll have a catch-up about your vintage season of the revivals and the RHR and stuff like that, all right?
Yeah, brilliant, yeah.
No problems. All right, mate. Thanks for coming on. You've been fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problems. You'll have to hang up at your mate. All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye. And he's gone. There you go. How about that? Masami Pete. Yep. What a man.
Sometimes, I know we have... Like you said, we do occasionally get a few superstars on, but I think sometimes it's just nice to have a bit of a change of pace. Not just get your mates on, but also have a look at what it's like, what the opinions of the hobby are from a club racer perspective. Somebody who's Absolutely. Not, you know, racing all over the world every weekend.
Yep. Club racing is key. Club racing's key. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of club race, well, I don't think it was a club race, actually, with like all the world champions and Euro champions and national and when world A finalists that were at Bury at the weekend. How was Bury?
Well, you mean the club race where the entirety of the A final are national A finalists?
Yeah. what you got to remember as well, like,
and a world champion.
World champions.
European champions.
Skidmore's made a world's A and eighth Euros A, you know what I mean? So, yeah, he's a bit of a big deal as well.
yeah. So it's...
How was the J final?
Mate.
That was a joke. I don't know where you finished. I'm just making it up.
Get bent. I was quite chuffed this week. So I've been really, really, I've been racing everywhere. So like Tuesday night, I was up at Silverstone. Then Friday night, I was at Potteries. And then obviously up at Bury on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So I've just been getting the mileage on the car, really. And that car felt really good. I've been really, really, I think I've gelled with the B7 quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it's become a nice car to drive for me. I'm enjoying my carpet racing again, which is, you know, a miracle in itself.
Unusual for you, yeah. So, okay, yeah. so How did you get on?
Well, it was all right. I had a couple of good runs, and I managed to sneak into the back of the C. So I qualified C9, which, as we've already established, when you look at the quality of what was in the A final, you know, I'm counting that as like 19th overall.
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't, you know, never had a shot at beating them guys. And then after three laps, buzzer goes, three laps, and it's like, I'm in C2. There's been carnage around me. I've kept it clean for the first two laps. Managed to pull a nice move on whoever it was in third. I'm up into C2. And the, you know, when you're driving and you go, oh, I'm in second.
Yeah.
But I said that in my head as I came over like the tabletop-y thing. And I hadn't done it all day. Not once that I fell off the side of this tabletop. I'd hit it plumb every time. It was like my most confident part of the track. And literally, as I opened my head and went, oh, I'm in second.
You smash it off.
I automatically went, oh, I fell off the side of the ramp. And ended up there. And I think I was plumb last after that and a frustration mistake afterwards. And I managed, but I managed to fight my way back up from C11, because obviously they're 11 car finals.
Yeah.
I managed to fight my way back up and I finished C8. So, although disappointed that I had a bit of a special moment and threw it away, you know, not too displeased with it. And it was good fighting back through the pack, to be fair. It was quite good fun.
Oh, cool. So you went from 9th to 2nd, and where did you end up performing back down to?
8th. Well, I fell back all the way to last.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the next 4.5 minutes, 4 minutes, managed to make my way back up to 8th. So, you know, reasonably happy with that.
Well, that's good.
I'm not going to be too disappointed.
How many heats? Was there 10 heats?
Yes, 10.
Okay, so yeah, it's not bothering my top 30%. That'll do, won't it?
Yeah, I think I had I think my qualifying rounds that counted were a 24 and a 25 overall.
Oh, decent. Decent. Yeah,
And I think I dropped to 33 and a 29, something like that.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, relatively happy with it, mate, considering it's carpet. And
is that Berry done now, or is there one more?
No, there's one more the weekend before MKGP.
Oh, perfect warm-up. Perfect warm-up.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll be up there. That'll be a good one.
You think you got another B final that in your, you haven't done a B final at Bury, have you? It was a Slough.
No, I've done two C's at Bury, and the other one's not really worth talking about. So another C could really do me well, yeah. To be honest. Maybe I think so. Could probably do it if I have a good day. Should be all right.
I would hope you could do that, mate. To be fair, I think you got a B final in you. Who was in the B final?
I don't know about a B final at Bury, mate. I'd have to hope a few people didn't turn up, if I'm being 100% honest.
Well, you might find you might get your wish with it being if the weather turns in March, you know.
I'd have to hope that there was like another COVID outbreak and I was the only one that got there. You know, that'd be good. But yeah, should be a good run. It's always a good meeting. The track was I really enjoyed the track this week. Colin and the track team did a really good job.
I like that corner at the end of the straight that we were talking about earlier. It was like a chicane, but not a chicane, wasn't it?
Yeah. If you got it just right, you could just slide it through the corner and get it in and round. And yeah, it was really good. And even like I used to find that with the 6.4, whether it was just the way I ran it or how it drove, I don't know. I think it was probably more my setup. I was never confident over like the THR rumble ripple things.
Yeah.
But like with the B7, it's not even a rumble ripple. It's just a jump. You just hit the first one and pop clean over it. You don't touch the rest of it. You just pop. Done. It was awesome. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. There were some parts where you could push the car and there was other parts where you had to be patient with the car. It was like proper racing.
Yeah.
So yeah, And you were at your second home this weekend, weren't you, at Ledbury?
I was, man. Oh, God.
Have they named a corner after you there yet for the amount of time you spend there?
They should do. You know what I mean? They really should do for the amount of plugs they get every week. Where were you this week? Oh, guess what? I was at Ledbury again. You know.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't just give you, like, a little cabin to sleep. You know, like we were on about vans.
Yeah.
And they're not give you, like, a little cabin there on site. Like Russ's hut.
They should do. Just give me a key to the container so I can turn the time in on when I go down. I'm there that much. No, it was really good. It was wet, unfortunately. When we got there, the field wasn't mud flooded, but it was muddy. So there was car park attendants in full force telling you to reverse in and where you had to park and stuff like that. But it was okay. But but there was no spray. It wasn't raining, but the track was wet. So we were on, you know what I mean?
Like,
so we,
yeah.
So we were just on wet tyres. Through the day, it was trying to dry. A couple of people dared yellers, but it just wasn't ready for it, you know. So Bruce, I'm saying he crashed a lot, if you know what I mean. He had a couple of tumbles and,
yeah,
you know. So he ended up qualifying, well, because the numbers were lowish. They had 7 car finals with 2 people to bump in. So technically there were like 9 car finals, if you know what I mean, but 2 bumped up.
Yeah.
So because of this, I'd had a couple of good runs through the day. I had 2 sixths in rounds out of 27, whatever, 25. And I thought, oh, brilliant, be in the A. You know what I mean? Straight in, no messing about. And because there's only 7 in the heats, I ended up qualifying 9th, which put me 2nd off in the B. So I'd done the work in the qualifying, put some crack, what I thought were cracking runs in. And unfortunately, I still didn't get my straight into the A. So that was annoying. But before that, young Master Bruce had qualified 2nd in the C final, which was what, 40? So he'd qualified 15th out of 20 odd. So once again, seems terrible, but not bad, you know. So yeah, anyway, I had to pick. It was going to get a bit carnage in the pits for both of us. Because if Bruce bumped up, I was going to have to find someone to pit for him, you know. And obviously, I had my sights on bumping into the A, which obviously you can never plan about, but you know, you always hope, don't you? So Bruce managed to bump into the B. Him and Jack Bolton had a cracking run round between them. They were 1st and 2nd, and you know, me and Jack's dad was shouting up to him, look, you know, you're both in the next final. Don't mess about. Let's just get through the race and get it finished, you know. Because I had like one thing led to another. They ended up with a 40-second lead over 3rd place, so they were quite close together, but there was no real challenge in between them. So they both bumped up into the B. So Bruce started 9th in the B, and I was in 2nd. And then we went, got Frosty and Alcock decided they were going to pit for us, so which was brilliant. So,
and they didn't disappear halfway through this time.
There's a little story at the pit stop, Chris. You'll love it. You'll love it. So anyway, me and Kyle O'Connor was on pole. So it shows how tight they were, you know, because Kyle O'Connor's mega fast with an 8, and he was on pole in the B as well. So anyway, off we went. Me and Carl went around for a couple of laps in 1st and 2nd, and then Carl dispatched himself into the scenery. So I had the lead, and I was flying around. I was doing all right, you know what I mean? I was just trying to get the race done to try and bump up. So yeah, just keeping it on its wheels and smashing around. And anyway, Ian Gillespie, he used to work at RCP in Bridgnorth. I don't know if you remember that shop.
Yeah, I know the name.
Yeah, he was in 2nd place, and he was about 6 seconds behind me, something like that. Nothing fantastic. Anyway, but he was the same again, you know, just trying to get into the back of the A. So they're pitching me and Bruce, and I was coming up to lap Bruce, and they called us both in. So that Russ fuel, Bruce fuel, and it wasn't a problem because there was like a 10 second gap in between us. And then Bruce stuffed it on the triples, didn't he? So by the time Bruce had got marshalled, we both arrived in the pit lane in front of Frosty and Alcock at exactly the same time. And they're fumbling like, which one to do first? I might be flaring this up a bit, but you know what I mean? They're fumbling. I'm like, do me first. I win the lead. So anyway, they got me fueled and got me out, and I got Bruce fueled and got him out. And I'm like chuntering on the roster. He was just like days of thunder. I come into the pits. I've got a 6 second lead. You put me out. I'm in 2nd and I'm like 10 seconds down.
So you were being ungrateful.
I was, but it was like, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it was like, it's not a problem. It's 2 to bump up. We're totally fine. Yeah. So everything I thought about with Bruce and Jack in the semi-final went totally out the window. And I'm like, I'm going to catch this guy and I'm going to pass him. So, yeah, so I traced him down. And unfortunately, he cut. He rolled over and revved the car when it was upside down and he cut. So I had just a clear run through then for the B final win. I was mega lucky, mega, mega lucky. And then, yeah, I got into the A. But while I'm concentrating and running my own race, Bruce has smashed his way up from ninth to third, came across the line in third after 15 minutes in the B final.
So you know what I'm going to say then, don't
well,
you?
Well, I'll tell you
it's
what.
Getting closer.
Mate, I wish I could have seen it. And I was chuckling about it in the car on the way home. If I'd have thought about it, you know what I'd have done? I'd have pulled over and I'd have let him have the second place and he could have gone into the A, because that's the kind of dad I am.
Yeah, but then that's not, no. You see, I disagree with that.
But anyway,
I disagree with that. I think you should, if he's going to do it, he's got to do it off his own merit.
Yeah, but I didn't, because I didn't think like that, because I'm a heartless bastard. Anyway, so yeah, so I was mega chuffed with him. And at the end of the day, I checked the lap times, and he had his fastest lap in the final was 200ths of a, in the B final, he was 200ths of a second slower than mine, my fastest lap. So he had some pace, but he was getting some great guidance from Matt and Frosty. You know, they were, like, he was in third place. He was in fourth place, actually, sorry. And they were shouting to him, come on, mate, you need to, really need to push on now. Let's get on with this. Let's try and catch this car in front. So he managed to catch third, but second place was still like 10 seconds up ahead of him. So, yeah, he was. I was mega proud of him, mate. Mega, mega proud of him. He did really well. He did really well. So
what you mean is he was encouraged by good pit men rather than just him and you shouting, having an argument at each other.
Well, we don't normally argue when we're pitting. We're doing the qualifying when he hits things like three times in a row every lap. We fall out then, but other than that, we get on all right during the finals, because obviously Least Junior comes alive in the finals, doesn't he? When it's race time, there's no hassle. It's just when he's qualifying, it's just a struggle.
Yeah, when there's something for him to chase and hunt, he's quite happy, isn't he?
Yeah. So he was flying, absolutely flying. I feel like I'm going on. Sorry. Anyway, I bumped into the A, and this is where the fun starts. Went off the line in the A final, and you wouldn't believe how many people crashed. To say it was an A final, it was like literally three laps in, and I'd gone from like eighth or ninth position on the grid to fourth, and I was just flying around, just driving around, minding my own business, absolutely sound. I'm in front of Oddy Frost, who's normally a lot quicker than me. I'm in front of Matt Alcock. I'm racing with Dale. I'm going to say his name wrong. Bousquet from the Ludlow Club, who's normally a bit faster than me. I'm just loving my new car. Everything's going great. You know what I mean? And I'm the only one in this race with dry tyres on, because it was dry. And they were all still on yellows because they weren't convinced. So they were all still on silvers because they weren't quite convinced a couple of corners were dry yet. So anyway, I'm, you know, living my best life. Anyway, it rained like three laps from the end, didn't it? So I was still holding position. I was still defending like a champion. And then I was trying to double single the triples because I just couldn't get the drive. And then three laps in the end, I actually got the drive and I cased the third triple. And I just flipped over forwards and like all the cars came streaming past. So I ended up crossing the line in seventh. So my end result didn't actually portray how much of a great day I'd actually had and how good the car was, you know. I wasn't upset because, you know, it's racing, isn't it? But I was frustrated. You know, it would have been nice to have had a podium in the B and the C for the photos, in the A, sorry. But, you know, it is what it is. So,
yeah, but what you did get was a photo of you and your beloved son.
I did.
Same final.
I was chuffed with that, you know, Chris. I really was. That's the first time we've been in the same race, unlike qualifying and whatever. So, yeah, it was good. I'll be honest with you, though, mate. I did lap him twice. So he's got a bit to go yet. You know what I mean?
You always have to just be negative about
it. I'm still holding
you
on.
You always have to be negative about it.
Still holding on.
You know what? I can't wait for the day he absolutely has you round. I will cheer.
It is close. I tell you what, if he could just be a bit more consistent, I'd be very worried. I really would be very worried.
I cannot wait for it, mate.
Over a couple of laps, mate, he's got the pace. He's got the pace, but he just hasn't got the it's not experience. What's the word? The consistency, but that comes with experience, doesn't it? I suppose.
Yeah. You know, but you'll get experience comes with age and all that.
Well, yeah, but he's got over a couple of laps. He's rapid, but he just needs to.
Yeah,
bring it into a run, and then I think it's worry time, you know. But honestly,
retire time, not worry.
Well, I ain't retiring yet, mate. I'm still having the best time. I still feel, whether I am or not, faster than I've ever been at my terrible club level. You know what I mean? I still feel like I can still hold it with the people I normally race with. So that's why I'm still going for. Anyway, we'll see. It's just me and you this Saturday at Slough, Chris.
Oh, we haven't got His Majesty turning up with us.
I ain't getting him out of bed at 4:30 in the morning. They'll be a right flipping nightmare in the afternoon. I can't do it. So it's just me and you, mate. Just me and you.
For a very early start with a trek down to Slough.
It is. What time? It's going to be 4:45 pick up here, isn't it? to get there on time.
Gate doors open at 8, but you've got to stop and have a bit of food and whatever on the way. Otherwise, you just knack. You know.
Yeah.
It's not a bad run down on the morning, to be fair. Yeah.
So watch out, heat one at Slough. I'm coming. You might even put me in heat too. You know, I might message him.
No, I've told him, put you in the bottom heat. Oh, blast off.
Yeah. Carter, just like when I went to the short course nationals and they put me car 10 heat 1. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, cheers, guys. Yeah,
no, not even car 10, you had car 11. They've had an extra one on just for you.
Yeah.
You got your tyres and everything ready.
Yeah, look, everything's done. Everything's done.
Sorted. I've even been very kind. I've even been very kind to you.
Yeah.
Because pitting's a bit tight at Slough.
Yeah.
And I know you haven't got a 4-foot table.
No, I've got a 6-foot.
So I've got my spare 4-foot table ready for you.
Have you got a 4-foot table?
I've got two. So you can use one, I'll use the other.
That's what I meant. So we've both got 4-foot tables. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So I can't be pitting on a 3-foot table.
No, there's not enough room, is there?
No.
I like to
spread out a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. It's all good.
I am looking forward to that, to be honest.
It'll be a good race.
Very looking forward to it. I'm going to give my mate Sam a big hug when I see him. And obviously there's loads of people I haven't seen all winter who race down there, so that'd be quite cool.
Yeah, it'd be good. I think young Ruben's booked in. One of the newest CML kids.
Yeah. Yep.
So it'd be good to catch up with Freddie as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Last time I saw Ruben, he was tiny.
He's bigger than you now. Yeah. Obviously, upwards, not outwards.
Yeah, not outwards, no.
You know, but no, it'd be good. It's I'm quite looking forward to it. And then I've got I've then got to drive back from Slough, get home, and get an early night because I'm at the Silverstone warm-up the next day.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Wow. That should be cool. So,
that's a bit of a run, but hey ho, it is what it is.
Yeah, it'll be fine. All right then, dude, if there's nothing else to say, do you want to thank the show sponsors?
Yes, mate. A big thank you to CML Distribution, RC House, Schumacher Racing and Will Speed.
Perfect, and also thank you to the listeners, guys. Thanks very much for getting involved with our Car Cash Club podcast that we lovingly produce for you every week. Don't forget to like and share for your chance to be in with the prize at Christmas. That's it. You're the best, and we'll see you at the races. Chris, I'll see you bright early Saturday morning, but no doubt I'll see you on the internet before that. So
no, you will do. Sam, I'll see you in a bit. Have a look. Bye.